Welcome to the First Intuition podcast. On this episode, we ask, why would you want to study accounting in 2021? We recorded the session in front of a live Zoom audience, and if you'd like to join a future session, check out the link in our show notes. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the First Intuition podcast. My name is Ben Bullman, tutor and director at First Intuition. As always, we're recording the session tonight in front of a live Zoom audience. So we've got some students in the Zoom room with us. They will be using the chat box. They can share their thoughts and ideas as we're going along. And I'm delighted to say tonight I'm joined by my colleague, good friend, fellow director and tutor, Amy Forrest. Good evening, Amy.
Hello. Yes, thank you very much for having me back again. So I can't have been too bad on my previous visits to the podcast. So yeah, really excited to be back again. Thank you very much.
Amy, it's lovely to have you back with us. I was going to say beside me. You're beside me on the Zoom screen. You're not literally physically beside me. We're in different counties, actually, aren't we, as we're speaking this evening. How's your week going?
Yeah, I'm having a good week. It's been very productive, which is good. You and I were having a little chat earlier. It feels like this week's going a bit more slowly than previous weeks. Often we blink and it's Friday afternoon and it's ready for the weekend. But this week seems like it's going a bit slow, which is nice in a way. So yeah, my week's going really, really well, actually, I'd say. How about you?
Yeah, really, really good. And as we're recording this, England are still in the European Championships. They're still in the Euros. If we've got any football fans listening to this episode, please make sure you all go back and check out last week's episode when we talked about football from a perspective of finance. Really, really great episode. And if you're a football fanatic, go and listen to it because I think you'll really, really enjoy it. For me this week, similar. Lots of stuff going on. We haven't got the pressure of too many exams looming at the moment. This is a bit of a breath time. Take a bit of a breath in and think about some exam sittings that are coming up. We've still got a few that are going on, though. I've actually been doing a few more school events. Something I used to do pre-COVID was go into a number of local schools and colleges and talk to year 12 GCSE students or year 13 A-level students about accountancy. What does it mean to be an accountant? What does the job role offer? What are the routes into the profession? What training is undertaken? And it got me thinking, really, when I was preparing for a session I was doing virtually for a local school this time. So I was on a Microsoft Teams call with a group of sixth formers. Got me thinking about, right, well, what should I be telling them? Why is 2021 a good year to think about studying as an accountant? And that got me thinking about, right, we could run this as the podcast. I think run it for a couple of reasons. One, there might be some people listening to this that are thinking, I'm not currently studying, but I would like to pursue a bit more of a formalized study route and career in accountancy. Or, and probably more important for our audience for this forum, we might have some students that have been studying that maybe are having some thoughts about, am I going to keep going? I need some motivation to keep going. And I really wanted this session to be a chance to remind people of why I personally believe, and I'm sure, Amy, you're going to agree with me on this one, 2021 is as good a time, if not as better time as ever, to actually get down and study to be an accountant. So, Amy, I know you're in regular communication with our wider tutor team across FI. And I think you posed the question to them this week to get some thoughts from them. What's your initial thoughts on why 2021 might be a good year to study as an accountant?
Yeah, we did, didn't we? We asked our tutor team across East Anglia and Yorkshire, why study to be an accountant? And the first person that came back wrote a great first sentence and basically said, the world is always going to need accountants. And it's true. It's absolutely true. You know, hundreds and hundreds of years. We've had accountants, you know, working in those business fields, and it's still the same today. And I think when adding into that the kind of changes that we've seen in 2021 with new businesses forming because people have massively changed the way they've worked or gone and set something up differently, or new industries emerging, and all of these kind of new businesses, new industries are going to need advice. They're going to need accountants, whether that's providing business advice, whether that's audit of all of these new companies, whether that's tax advice. There's always a need for an accountant. So yeah, I think it's still as relevant a profession in 2021 as it has ever been, if not more now, because of the massive change that the world has gone through, of which, you know, a lot of it is setting up businesses.
Amy, I'm reminded of the days when me and you used to share a laptop to teach from. And I'm gonna embarrass you now and tell everyone exactly what an accounting geek you are, because the background of that laptop was a picture of Luca Pacioli, who, if you don't know, listeners, Luca Pacioli was the guy back over 500 years ago in Italy that invented double entry bookkeeping, debits and credits. And he's a bit of a hero of yours, Amy, isn't he?
He is. You think that would embarrass me, Ben, but I don't think you can be an accountancy tutor without being a little bit of a geek. So I'm happy with that. Yes, Luca Pacioli was my background from 1400s when he invented double entry bookkeeping. And yeah, that's still the case now. Double entry bookkeeping is still the same now as it was 700 years ago, whenever it was invented. Now, and that's always going to be the case. There's always going to be the underlying accountancy skills and accountancy technical skills, regardless of how the industry changes.
And obviously the industry is changing, has changed, will continue to change, but the accounting bodies will continue to adapt and change alongside it. And I was actually at a forum this morning. Amy, I know you were in the Zoom audience as well. We ran a forum at First Intuition this morning for employers, and we got all of the professional bodies and some industry experts. And I was really reassured that all of them were saying accounting is still a very buoyant profession. And all of the accounting bodies are very much saying we just need to make sure that we adapt our qualifications to the modern world. But you're exactly right. The fundamentals behind it are the same as they were when Luca invented them all of those years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. You know, it's really interesting what we hear at the moment around kind of changes to the accounting industry, and particularly around the kind of data aspects. And you're absolutely right, all of the accounting awarding bodies, all of those professional qualifications now include elements of data analysis and how to use data. It's just such a massive area that businesses rely on, isn't it? But, and another colleague made this really good point, yes, there's a lot of data and a lot of information that goes on within companies. It's accountants that analyse that, and it's accountants that are going to take that data and communicate it with others. So regardless of how much of the kind of day-to-day, what people would typically call accountancy, you know, the reconciliations, the ticking off and all of that, as much as that becomes automated, all that's meaning is that accountants are just changing their focus slightly more towards analysing and communicating that information.
Yeah, we obviously call it big data, don't we? It's in all of the syllabuses, it's in skills workshops that we run, but the enormity of that data set is only as good for the business, for the organisation, as the people that can understand it, communicate it, report on it. And that's really where our profession is at the forefront of giving the business, giving the decision makers the information and the tools they need to make the right decision with the right information at the right time. And so that role is more than ever. The fact that businesses now have got more data at their disposal than they ever have done before, a lot of that financial data, but also increasingly non-financial data that we need to tie up to the story behind the numbers, And we've seen a big shift in the exams of that over the years since we've been teaching, Amy, haven't we, with regards to, yeah, the exam syllabuses still get you to do compilation exercises and put sets of accounts together, but increasingly it's more about, can you put the backstory behind it and explain the results, explain the data, join up the dots between this bit of information and this piece of information and these numbers here to really give the business that rounded view of what's happening and what's potentially likely to happen in the future?
No, absolutely right. Every single professional qualification now, isn't it? Every single one, the final exam is a test of not just the technical knowledge, it's the communication skills, it's the putting forward that information. And so that is exactly that, it's taking the data and making it understandable. Which I think brings me to my other point of why accountancy in 2021, really. And I know we talk about this all the time, but I bet I could find four or five podcasts that you and Dave have done about the skills of an accountant. But I really just want to stress it again. I think that's a real big reason to study accountancy, and in 2021 and into the future when the accounting industry changes and the world continues to change and so on. Those transferable skills that you learn while studying to be an accountant, through doing your exams, through doing your practical experience requirement, through working in an accounting industry, invaluable, absolutely invaluable, I'd say.
100%. They will be as needed in our direct profession, in the accounting profession. Those skills will continue over many, many years to come. But also the bedrock that you build, those foundation skills that you obtain whilst you study and whilst you qualify as an accountant, are transferable. We use that word a lot, transferable skills, but the fact that lots of accounting roles need strict deadlines. And so that's a transferable skill that goes into many aspects of career development and extension beyond just a finance role. Communication and the ability to speak to people or write reports for people. That's something that, yes, very useful in a financial accounting context, but actually useful in all aspects of life and broadening your career options. So I really do believe that the skills you learn are in demand in our profession, but also are equally respected, and having that professional qualification as an accountant behind you just really does give you a stamp that says to the outside world, this person has demonstrated and developed those really, really sought after skills.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree with you. It's just, and I kind of see that from mine and yours careers, Ben, you know, in terms of we don't practice accountancy now. You know, we're not working for a company doing their accounts or working in practice dealing with clients and so on. But what we're using now is more the skills that we've built up whilst training to be accountants. And so I think that's another really core thing that I think is important when thinking about studying accountancy, is the absolutely wide range of careers that opens up to people, and not just working in industry or practice, although both unbelievably valuable careers, but it can open up a whole range of different options. And that's where I think accountancy is a really, really valuable skill and qualification to have. To have that on your CV, to have that under your, well, the letters after your name, which I don't use personally, but I wish I did, to put those letters after your name, it's really valuable.
Definitely. I think it helps you step up to management level. A management level can be much broader than managing a finance team. Quite often that the person that's got the financial experience in the organisation then gets tasked with a much broader spectrum of responsibilities. We've talked a lot about data already tonight, but I can see the future data managers being qualified accountants that have then moved into more of a data analytics field. We've got the ability to go on to board level, and there are some stats that if you Google it, you'll find that the number of FTSE 100 directors that started out as qualified accountants and then developed their broader leadership skills to go and be CEOs of FTSE 100 companies. I'm seeing a stat here that 3% of MPs elected are qualified accountants. So maybe a career in politics could be available for some of you once you have qualified, if that's a particular avenue you want to explore. Teaching is very, very achievable after accounting. It's certainly a route that both Amy and myself and lots of colleagues at FI have obviously done. And we're always looking for potential new tutors. So that's another avenue that you can go in to explore. That the opportunities are endless. And that sounds really cliche, doesn't it? But accounting as the bedrock can open so many doors to so many different areas of broader life and broader career horizons. So that's a really, really good point. I think another one that you had was on the flexibility. And this year particular has required flexibility from everybody, us as training providers, students with regards to the disruption to exams and programs being delivered under different methods, employers increasingly requiring flexibility from their workforce. But surely flexibility can be a positive. I know sometimes it unsettles people in the short term, but do you think this year is as flexible as we've ever known it in the options for studying?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, definitely. We now have at First Nutrition more ways of studying than we ever have had before. You know, we've got the classroom study, fingers crossed for the 19th of July, we'll be back into classroom study. We have online training with our kind of virtual platform. We have our online live training kind of over webinars and so on and so forth. So a huge variety of different ways to study. And I think that's all about trying to suit different people's needs. A lot of different ways to study, and obviously the professional bodies have opened up as well about how people, for example, sit exams. Like, you know, we were saying earlier, SEMA allow remote options for exams. So there's even more flexibility in the ways to study as well, which is great, absolutely fantastic. So if you've kind of sat there thinking, oh, I don't want to study because it's going to take me 2 hours on the train to get there and 2 hours back, there are other options. And I think that's great, really great.
And I would say on my side of the role I now do, talking more to employers, I think more so than ever, employers want to offer flexibility to their workforce. And part of that is going to their studiers and saying, what is the best way for you to study? And so working in partnership with your employer, with your training provider, to come up with the study method that works best for you, that's flexible, that still retains that element of quality, because don't get me wrong, we still want students to be as prepared for exams as they possibly can be. But if the last 15 months has shown us anything, as long as people have got the appetite to commit to things, we can make it work. So I would encourage you to think about your forward study plans. If you're one of the students listening to this thinking, oh, I'm not sure whether I'm going to continue, I'm still uncertain about picking up the study again, please, please, please go and look at the different options available, have a chat with someone and make sure that you are fully aware of the options that you can do to continue to pass your exams.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another part of that flexibility comes from the kind of background that you need to go into studying. So I think sometimes there's a bit of a stigma with accountants that, right, you know, you have to go to university or you have to have really strong A levels in accounting and business and all of these kind of things. But I think that accountancy is one of the most accessible professional careers that there are. At First Intuition, we have multiple different entry routes, don't we? We've got the level 2, which is kind of your traditional school leaver. So, you know, going to right down to how to do the reconciliation, how to get ready for the world of work and all of those aspects. Onto the kind of level 3, which is, you know, more akin to your A levels. So somebody that might have A levels might go on to do a level 3, up to the level 4. Up to the level 7. So there's a huge amount of different ways to get into it. It's not now, right, I've got to start right from the beginning at level 2 and do the full thing. It could be that actually starting at level 3 is a better option, or starting at level 7. So I think that really opens it up, which is great, actually. And that's been a bit of a shift in the industry over the last 8-10 years, hasn't it, Ben?
really, really something that, that everybody's talking about at the moment. The professional bodies, the employers I'm speaking to, we've run an employer forum on equality and diversity within our industry. And really, there are more entry points, more routes for people from different backgrounds. You don't have to have gone to university. You don't have to be a particular age. The apprenticeship scheme is more open and inclusive to everybody than it ever has been. And so, yeah, I think 2021 is the year that anybody really, if they want to, can pursue study as an accountant. And we're seeing lots of people come out of lockdown that are thinking of career change. And I think that this is a great career change for people. I think the next thing I wanted to talk about, and actually just picking up on a few comments in the chat box with regards to this slight fear in our industry that computers will take over. And I can tell you, I've been hearing that from when I started. I first got a job in accountancy in 1999, and that was when computers were just coming quite normalized. You had one at your desk, everybody had one. We very quickly all got email. We were then being told that, well, computers can process, they can do the transactional stuff much quicker, more accurate than people. And I've heard conversations that the number of accountancy trainees will halve or will quarter or will reduce by a very substantial amount. I can honestly tell you that, the last year we have seen more recruitment than we have done in previous years. And from that perspective, I am very, very optimistic about the buoyancy of our industry. The fact that, yeah, businesses can go and spend money on computer systems. They can buy that stuff in. It is very, very hard for employers to buy in qualified staff. We're seeing a bit of that now with regards to the massive shortage there is for qualified accountants out there, and the fact that people are offering, and it really is a competitive job market. Lots of employers are thinking the only way we can have a sustainable qualified staff bank is to actually train our own. And we've heard lots of stories, Amy, recently, haven't we, where employers have taken on more staff than they were anticipating to, just because there is this real appetite to train. And something that lots of employers talk about is growing their own qualified staff, not buying them in, but actually training them themselves, and then hopefully retaining them once they are qualified.
Yeah, definitely. It's hard at the moment to recruit for qualified accountants. That's something that we've heard a lot of employers saying, is that there is a shortage of near qualified or fully qualified accountants. So a lot of companies are looking more towards growing their own, as you say, which I'm always dubious about as a saying, but growing their own accountants within, which is fantastic. Helped by the fact that there are loads of different routes into it. So it's a great time to do that. It's a great time to start your career in accounting. Absolutely.
And I was very pleased to hear some observations this morning at the employer forum I was at, saying clearly we are in a digital world and the modern accountant is expected to embrace that. But actually, people are getting much more digitally aware in their own lives. And what employers really, really want is people, yes, that have got some digital skills, but can communicate. The overriding message this morning from employers, from the experts in our industry, was accounting and finance is still, at its essence, a people-focused profession. And as much as computers can process transactions and they can manage data, store data, people want to talk to other people. People don't want to talk to a computer. They don't want to talk to a robot. They want that human engagement. And that's really the Venn diagram. Visualize a Venn diagram with overlapping circles. If you have got financial skills, you have got IT and digital skills, but you are also a personable person, you can communicate, you can engage, you are in a really, really niche position. And that's where we see those three areas overlapping massively in the training programs, in the syllabuses of the qualifications now that we're teaching, in the apprenticeship standards that, that really are driving training in our industry. Amy, I want to change pace now for the last bit of the podcast session tonight to say we've covered all of the great reasons that accounting is still valuable in 2021 and will continue to be in future years. I wanted to think a bit more about studying itself, because we've kind of looked at the end prize, getting qualified, and the reasons why this is a great profession to be in. But I feel we can also actually say studying itself is a very constructive thing to do, not focusing on the qualified date and the final riches at the end of it, but actually enjoying the ride of studying and being a student. What's your thoughts on that? What are some of the reasons that you hear or you can think of from your own experience that it's actually a nice thing to do to study?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question, actually. And I think one of the big things that I would say is that personal development piece. It's, you know, improving your own skills. It's having that actual qualification that you are looking to achieve. There, you know, when I did my ACCA, one of the best feelings when you got your results through, you know, and yes, it's a lot of hard work to get there, but I learned a lot on the way. And then that feeling of actually having achieved something is incredible. And we still have that now, don't we, Ben, when we get students' results through, which is a big reason why we go into teaching in the first place, because we like helping other people. We still get that feeling now when we see students' results and they've passed, and it's absolutely fantastic. And it all comes back to that personal development piece. Having those aims to work on, achieving those kind of milestones to that full qualification, I think it's absolutely fantastic.
It's a very tangible sense of achievement, isn't it, to get an exam result and ultimately to get your certificate, whether that's the completion of a particular level or your final qualified, I've now got the letters after my name certificate. It's something that you can be enormously proud of, but there's very few other things I can think of in my life that have given me that sense of achievement. Wow, I've really done something. I've worked hard. And I'm not dismissing this. You work phenomenally hard to obtain the qualifications. And we know the students, it's no coincidence that the students that put in the hours for the study get the results at the end of the day, the end of the module, and actually get the qualification. But I think it's something that can be very, very powerful in people's lives to say, I'm going to constructively put some energy into something that benefits me, benefits my career, but gives me a sense of pride, I think is the word I'm looking for, Amy. It's something that we can be proud of, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely it is. And I think it's right to be proud of it. You know, it's no secret that studying to be an accountant is hard work, but there's definitely a reward at the end of it. Not just that, but I don't know, I liked my courses. I liked going on my accounting courses. I met some really great people. They were just, you know, fun things to go on and actually get involved. So, yeah, it's part of that personal development and, you know, actually enjoying it along the way.
And you might think it will stop when you get the letters after your name. It genuinely doesn't, does it, Amy? We continue to study. Me and you are currently doing some internal training on a leadership and management program, and I'm actually enjoying it. I get in a sense of, again, what it's like to be a student. It's quite good for us to have that empathy with the students that we're then also teaching and working with, because I have weeks where I think, do I really want to go and write that piece of work that I've been asked to write, do that other objective task that we need to do? And I know you're the same, and we've got a little group going with a few of us at FI where we're motivating each other to do it. But the feeling I get when I've done it and I see other people on the weekly tuition sessions that we get, me and Amy go to a little group every Friday morning with some colleagues because we're all doing this study together, and just the sense of we're all in this together and actually we're moving forward, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And it's reminding me of the good old days when I used to go to classes. I used to study and sit in a room and listen to a tutor talk about financial reporting or audit or tax, whatever the module was. I love those days. I look back so fondly on those now and think that was some of the best time in my life when I was studying. I loved it. And at the time, maybe you're so focused on the next exam. Yes, it's stressful. I don't think you appreciate that until you look back. It's a bit like reflecting on school, isn't it? You look back on school now, and I bet you've got a completely different take on your time at school than when you were actually there doing the schooling and the lessons. The other thing I wanted to mention really about the reasons to keep studying is I think it's a shame when people stop. I appreciate from time to time people need a break maybe, and things in their lives are not conducive with study. But I think the vast majority of students, even if they do have a break, come back to it at some point because they want to finish off what they've started. I know you're a great believer in that one, Amy. What kind of encouragement can you give to students that maybe have had a break, that are thinking, I really want to come back at some point?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that momentum plays such a key part in getting through your accounting qualification and getting through those exams and doing the practical experience requirement, all of those things that form part of getting that professional qualification. So momentum is massive, you know, making sure you keep going. That's not always the case. Sometimes it can't be the case. I mean, I do often think when a student says, oh, I'm going to take a break between doing my level three and level four. I'm going to take a break between my level four and level seven. I think, oh, why is that? What is it? You know, why is it that you want that time off from doing it? Because it's much easier to keep going. I don't know about you, Ben, but when it's Saturday morning and it's time to clean the house and I think, oh, I'll just have a little sit down between hoovering these rooms, and then that little sit down turns into the next episode on TV, and all of a sudden an hour and a half's gone, and then I think, oh, I'll just hoover tomorrow, and then that doesn't come around either. But that momentum's key. Now, getting back into it is a much harder thing, isn't it? Getting back into studying can be challenging, and the first thing I would say is talk to us at First Intuition. Now, sometimes actually working with somebody to develop a study programme to help you go, right, this is what you need to achieve and this is how I think you can reasonably achieve it, is massive, because it can seem like this giant uphill battle to finish it off when you haven't been studying for a while. You think, oh, I've still got six exams left or whatever it is. Actually, we might have some ideas, and we will have some ideas about how you could structure that, what's best to do when, how you could do it so it's not so overwhelming. So I think, first of all, talk to somebody about wanting to do that. Which brings me to my next point, which is, by talking to somebody, you're kind of holding yourself accountable then. By letting somebody know, this is my plan to complete, you've then talked to somebody, you know, at First Intuition or wherever, you've talked to somebody here and said, right, this is the plan I'm working to, cool. You know, somebody else now knows that plan, and somebody else is now involved in getting you through to that final exam, completing your professional qualification.
Definitely. I think motivation is something we've touched on numerous episodes of the podcast before. I don't think there's an easy fix for that one. It's a complex area, but I do think sometimes it is daunting just looking to the end. If you look to the qualification, you look to the final date, that seems a long way off and very, very unachievable and not really relevant to the next step. And that's what I've talked about on the podcast in previous episodes, that the best thing you can do is take the first step towards doing it, booking the next module, setting a target for the next exam and breaking it down into little chunks. When you're old like me and you've been qualified for a while, you can look back. And I said I remember fondly as a student. I can't remember anything about the units now, the syllabus that I studied. I can't remember the exams that I sat in any great detail, to be honest. And it honestly now seems like that went by in a blink of an eye. I'm sure if you spoke to Ben back in 2000 when he was studying and he was an AAT student, looking forward and thinking, I've got all of this AAT to do, then I want to go on and do my ACCA. It seems like I've got 101 exams and things to learn. He would have said, there's loads of this. I'm going to be doing this for ages. Genuinely, guys, I look back now and it is gone in a blink of an eye. And I think getting some perspective on things will really, really help. And I appreciate that's me saying it as someone that qualified many, many years ago. But I think whilst you're there, just take a step back, take a look from above and think, right, what's the next unit? If I can get to Christmas with some reasonable, achievable targets, and something, Amy, you just mentioned was realistic with regards to your expectations and what you're going to do, that's the way to go. That's the way to go.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think if you have taken a break from study and if you have had a bit of time off, I would say don't beat yourself up about it. You know, there's no point going, oh, I wish I'd done that over the last year or 2 years. You know, it didn't happen. But let's not beat ourselves up over that. My mum always used to say to me, it's a very famous saying, the best time to plant a tree was 10 years ago. That would be the best time, wouldn't it? Because now we'd have this fully grown tree, be fantastic. The second best time to plant a tree is today. Now, and I really take a lot from that, because there's no point saying, oh, I didn't start studying my accountancy last year or whatever. I didn't do my exam last year. We might as well say, OK, but what are we going to do about it from now on then? So for me, I completely agree with you. My ACCA went down in the blink of an eye. When I started, I was like, at the time, it was 14 exams for ACCA. I was like, 14 exams. How am I going to get through this? And all of a sudden, that was it. I've qualified. That was sorted. And so it goes so quickly. So don't let that put you off, I wouldn't say. You know, why study in 2021? Don't think, oh, I won't be qualified till 2024. You've got to get on that first step. You've got to take that first plunge into it. Before you know it, it will be done.
I think my final message, and I want to just remind everyone of this, you are not on your own. I know, yes, at times when you're studying, it can be quite lonely. Only you are going to go in and sit that next exam. But you've got more support than I think you will ever have had in your study life out there. I think lots of students are very, very lucky to have the support of their employer. And please, I would encourage you to go and speak to work and see if they can support you further with your training. Lots of employers are very, very up for sustainability in their workplace and making sure that they're offering every training opportunity that they can do. So I think, yes, you're very, very lucky if you've got a supportive employer and a training contract, but go and ask for it. If you don't ask, you don't get, and make sure you are sharing that with other people that you work with alongside. Hopefully you've got the support of a training provider such as First Intuition. We work with some fantastic colleagues, Amy, don't we? And I know everybody here wants the best for students. They want them to achieve. They want them to succeed. Coming to forums like this, I think, is great. Listening to the podcast, even, you are part of a community. We are here for you. We'll continue to release episodes to try and give you the motivational tips, the drive forward that you need. So please, I hate the thought of anyone thinking out there thinking the reason I'm not going to study this year is I am on my own. You are not. There are mechanisms out there to help and support you. So please look out for those, research them, make the best of the opportunities that are out there. Amy, as always, we are coming to the end of our student forum allocated time for this evening. Thank you so, so much for being the co-host with me tonight. I love it when you come and join.
No, thank you very much. It's been lovely. I hope I'll get another invite in the future.
I'm sure you will. I'm 100% sure. Guys who have been in the live Zoom audience tonight, thank you so, so much for your comments in the chat box. Tonight, you've really done yourselves proud. I've seen some lovely comments in the chat box. I've seen students encouraging other students. Everybody listening to the podcast, I can't tell you how thankful me and Dave are that people download it, that people listen. We will continue to release episodes of the podcast while there is an active community. And me and Dave love it when we go and see that the next episode has been uploaded and the download stats are coming through. So continue to download, continue to subscribe to the podcast. Please leave a review if you can do. The reviews really, really help us and obviously encourage other people to go and download the podcast. And I will see you again on another edition of the First Intuition podcast. Thank you all for listening.